Wise Words for Godly Living. That's the title of these series of sermons as we come to the book of Proverbs. And this morning, we really begin our topical part of this series. We've had three introductory sermons looking at what wisdom is, considering the difference between the wise and the fool, and then thinking about how we can gain wisdom or grow in wisdom. Now, we're going to be moving through Proverbs and taking verses from different places in the book under a topical series. And we look this morning at our words, the things that we say, how we use our speech. As Scripture gives words an important place. In the beginning, God spoke, and the world came into being. Words were used. God said, "It is good." Time and time again, through the Old Testament, the prophets are speaking, and they say, "Thus says the Lord." The word of the Lord. God's word is being revealed to his people. It's being revealed to warn us, to direct us, and to teach us. Ultimately, the word directs us to Christ Jesus. Christ is the pinnacle of God's revelation to mankind. The Savior. The one who will die for sin. The one who will take our place. The one who is raised from the dead. And when Christ came into the world, we are told the word became flesh. The word dwelt among us. God's revelation. God in human form. As Christ's people, we are to be careful how we handle the word of God. We're to be careful making sure that we understand it correctly. We study it the right way. We follow what it says. So the Bible, and ultimately in seeing Christ, we see that words and the word have a very important place. But also in Scripture, God is telling us that how we use our words is important. We are to be wise in using our words. We can use our words foolishly. We can use our words to hurt people. We can use our words in a wrong way. But God says there is also a way in which we can use our words to encourage one another, to help one another. There is a way in which we can use our words that we can show ourselves to be wise people, those who are following Christ. We must use our words according to God's commands. Because we know, and many of you know from bitter experience, that when words are used wrongly or foolishly, they can be hurtful. They can cause all sorts of damage. The letter of James, when we read from it earlier, it gives us plenty of warnings about the use of the tongue. It's like that fire that can set ablaze a whole forest. Such a small thing can cause a lot of damage. And controlling our words isn't easy. It takes effort and it takes work. But it's important. There is a wise way to use our words. And so Proverbs gives us lots of practical advice about our words. So this morning we come to look at several verses in Proverbs that deal with our words. But I want to have a key verse for you. This is a verse that you can take away and think about all week. This is a verse that when you go to speak, you can have these words in your mind and you can think, are these words going to fall in to this verse? The verse is found in Proverbs 25, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Here is a verse you can remember. When we are using our words wisely, we find that our words are beautiful. Our words are praiseworthy. We find that the right word, said in the right way, at the right time, is a wonderful thing. We are to strive to have our words like apples of gold in settings of silver. For words to be this way, they are to be thoughtful, they are to be true, and they are to be timely. So firstly this morning, our words are to be thoughtful words. It's very easy for us at times to share our opinions or to give an answer to someone without thinking. There are times when we can open our mouths and we really just let the words tumble out. We haven't thought through them clearly. We haven't engaged our brains. But our words are to be like apples of gold. These are apples that have been fashioned for their beauty. There's a design behind these apples. The creator of them has considered every detail of what he is making. He's weighed in his mind what the finished product is going to look like. He's been thoughtful. And he creates a beautiful golden apple. But we are to do the same with our words. Back in Proverbs 15, verse 28, we read from it earlier. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. The heart of the wise man, the heart of the wise woman, thinks about what they are going to say. We're to consider and weigh in our minds the words that we're going to use. We're to ask ourselves, are my words going to be helpful? Are my words going to give light and understanding to this situation? Are my words going to be understood in the right way? Are these words that I'm about to share, are they going to be encouraging and helpful to this person? Are they going to build them up? Will my words help this person in their walk with Christ? Will they be words that will bring greater unity? We are to think and ponder. Our words are to be thoughtful. Obviously, there are going to be times when we don't have to think too much about our words. What did you have for breakfast this morning? Did you put the bins out? What time is it? Is the front door locked? There are many times through the day when we don't have to think too much about the words that we use. Simple answers to simple questions. They're not going to have any great eternal influence. But sometimes we don't think about the way that we use our words. The way that we use our words can be thoughtless. Did you put the bins out? Yes, I put the bins out. Not that that's said in our home. Did you remember to lock the front door? Yes, I locked the front door. Thoughtful. We are to consider and weigh up our words. They are to be like apples of gold. They are to be beautiful. They are to be designed. They are to be weighed up in our minds. The way we speak is to be thought through. And not just the way we use our words, but also the things that we say. I have a favourite button on my laptop, on my computer. It's the delete button or the backspace button. When I'm typing up notes or typing out my sermon, what I'm going to say, the delete button comes into play an awful lot. Sometimes it's just a word that I'm replacing. Sometimes it's a whole sentence. I think, no, that sentence doesn't make sense. I'll delete it. I'll hit the backspace button and remove that sentence. Sometimes it's been several paragraphs. I've thought, no, I can't say that. That won't help people. That's just rubbish. And I can delete it. How I wish there was a delete button for what comes out of our mouths. How many times have you wished there could just be a backspace button that we could press? If only I could take that back. But there isn't one. We're told in Proverbs 15, verse 28, the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. If only we could take it back. Something we've said in haste. Something we've said in anger. Something in frustration or without thinking. We are to be wise. Ponder in our heart how we are to answer. If we want to be those who are living in a godly way, in a Christ-like way, we are to think before we speak. Be thoughtful. And use thoughtful words. Words that are going to help people. Words that are going to build people up and strengthen them and encourage them. This takes effort. Have you thought about how you're going to speak to your work colleagues or your classmates this week? When they're talking about the news, have you thought about what your responses will be? Are you ready to give Christ-honoring answers to people? Think. Be thoughtful. And then also how you address people. Are your words thoughtful words? In this situation, what I am about to say, is it going to be a good thing? Is it going to be the right thing? Have you thought about how you're going to speak to your brothers and sisters here in church? The friend who has lost a loved one. Have you thought about what you'll say to them? Have you considered how you will address that issue or how you will respond to that request that someone is going to bring to you? Have you thought about what does that person need to hear? What don't they need to hear? Have you thought about how you can encourage them? The fool speaks many words. The wicked just pours out evil. But our words are to be apples of gold. Words that we have thought about, designed, structured, thoughtful words. And then secondly, our words are to be true words. These beautiful apples of gold, they're to be true words. Yes, thoughtful in what we say, but it's not to be flattery. We're not to think of ways to twist our words so that a person isn't offended or so that they'll look favourably on us. Back in Proverbs 12, look at Proverbs 12, verse 19. Proverbs 12, verse 19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. I trust that it goes without saying that at all times our words are to be true. Christ reveals himself to us as the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Truthfulness is based in the very essence in the very character of the Godhead. And as Christ's people, just as Christ is truth, so we are to walk in truth. So we are to speak the truth. There's to be nothing false that comes from our lips as his people. God even commands us, do not lie. Sometimes it's easy though. Isn't it? Just give a part truth. I'll share with this person the bit that puts me in a favourable light. I'll only give them some of the details because These are the important details for me. They don't need to know everything else, and the other stuff maybe doesn't make me sound that good. I'll just say that that's what happened. Because it's a small thing, it doesn't really matter. A little white lie doesn't hurt anyone. It's not a serious situation. Even for Christians. Even for those who've been saved by the grace of God. For those who've been brought into Christ. For those who dwell in truth. Even for us, it's easy. It's easy to let our words slip. It's easy to lie. We live in a society where people are experts in doing just that. They will share only the information that they want to share. Or they will tell outright lies. In the New Testament, people were saved from a culture and from a society where lying was commonplace. In Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." As Christ's people, we are saved. The old self is crucified with Christ. It's done away with. We don't need to give ourselves to the old self. We do not need to lie. Rather, we have put on the new self in Christ. We are new creations. We have the Spirit living within us. We are clothed in Christ's righteousness. We are being made more like Christ, more like the one who is truth. And so our words are to be true words. Our words are to be true in that they are full of the knowledge from God's word. And friends, we are to speak his truth, giving the answer that God's word gives. We are to impart his revelation. If you want to be wise, if you want to live in a godly way, then first of all, you must be found in the truth. And you must know the truth. Know Christ as Savior. And then in his people, we are to walk in the truth. We are to know God's word more and more. How can we expect to speak the truth in every situation if we're not familiar with it? If we don't grasp it? Our words are to be true words. But it's more than just truth. As Christ's people, we are to ignore lies. We're to avoid lies. Here I'm thinking about gossip. That bit of news that's being shared with us. That little tidbit that somebody's speaking. If we don't know the situation, if we don't know the facts, then we are to ignore the gossip. We're to put it out of our minds. We're not to listen to slander. We're not to pass on information that we don't know if it's right or not. And sometimes we shouldn't even pass on information even if we do know it's right. Gossip is harmful. Gossip is hurtful. It's not what Christ's people are to be involved in. Going back to the New Testament, Ephesians 4, verse 29. "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. The wise speak only true words." If we want our words to be apples of gold, if we want them to be stunning, beautiful, and pleasant, then they must be true and they must be thoughtful. Thirdly and finally, our words are to be timely words. Our words are to be timely. These are apples of gold in a setting of silver. The situation of our words, the background, the circumstances, the timing of our words can make them shine even more brightly. Good timing is important in comedy. But that is not what this is saying. Our timing is to be words that fit the occasion. We can add beauty to what we say when we say it to someone at the right timing. Bad timing can diminish and blur the truth of what we are saying. It's to be a setting of silver. Use our words in the right time and the right way. Proverbs 15, verse 23. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Isn't it true that the right words, spoken in the right way and at the right time, can be such a help to us? And we have that experience often. We're reading God's word. We're going through a time in our lives that's difficult. It's a situation that we're struggling with. We've been praying about it. And in our daily reading of God's word, as God has graciously, in his foreknowledge, given it to us, we read it at the right time. We say to ourselves, that's just what I needed. This passage of Scripture in my daily reading notes, or as I work my way through Scripture, it's come at the right time. And God has spoken. People have sometimes mentioned to me after church something in the sermon or something in a psalm that we sang. It's been relevant and helpful to the situation. I've known nothing about it, but they just said, needed that today. That was just relevant today. Timely. God's timing. God's sovereign care of his people. And God's word, bringing his word in his time. God's words are always timely. And as his people, as Christ's people, we are to speak at the right time. There is a setting. There is a context that is right. There are times when we are to speak, and there are times when we are to be silent. This means that we're to be sensitive to people's situations and circumstances. Put ourselves into people's situations. Consider, what will they hear when I speak to them? Will they understand that what I am saying at this time is said in love? Will these words said right now help them, or will they be words that harm them? The timing of our words. Perhaps what we're going to say to someone, it's true. They need to hear it. But maybe the timing isn't just right. Perhaps waiting. Wait a week or two. And then share with them. Perhaps now is the time. It's something that needs to be said right away. But the timing of our words is important. It can be like a setting of silver. It can add beauty to what we are saying. It can show the glory of what we are saying, or the love of what we are saying, the concern and our desire to see a person grow. Timing is important. Sometimes, perhaps we're to say nothing. Sometimes we're to remain silent. Proverbs 17, verse 27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. Sometimes it's better for us to say nothing at all. And it's wise knowing when we are to do that. It shows wisdom and maturity when we know how to be silent and when to be silent. But that's not to be an excuse. because there are times when we are not to be silent. Even though the situation might seem awkward, even though we are thinking this might not go down too well, this might hurt a friendship for a time, there are times when we must speak, times when Christ must be shared. There are words in season. But Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. You're at work. You're sitting there. Conversation comes up amongst your work colleagues, or you're in school. It's in class. The teacher is saying something and the class are discussing this thing. And you know in your heart and your mind, I have the right answer. And the right answer is to be found in Christ. And I know that they need to hear about Jesus Christ. I know that they need to hear that what they are discussing is completely wrong. But that this is what God's word says. And God's word says that there is forgiveness in Christ. And I need to share that. And it might be uncomfortable. It might be awkward. It might mean that people will look at you and think, what are you saying? It might be words that appear to be out of season, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. But we are to be ready. We are to speak the word. Our words are to be timely, in season, and even when it's awkward, even when it might be embarrassing, even when it might mean we're laughed at. Words out of season. Our words, by God's grace, may then be timely words in someone's life. God could take what we say, and God could graciously apply it to someone's life. When Christ is presented, God can draw people to himself, and he does. Our words are to be about Christ. Timely words in season and out of season. Wise words for godly living. To live Christ-like lives, our words are to be thoughtful. We are to speak in humility, in love, in kindness. We're to think about what we say. Our words are to be true words. They're to be founded on the Word of God. They're to present the truth of God's Word. We're not to give ourselves to lies. We're not to give ourselves to gossip. And our words are to be timely words. Think of the occasion. Think of the setting. Think of how they will come across. They're to be in season, but also at times out of season. Sometimes it might be uncomfortable. Are you ready for your words to be apples of gold in settings of silver? Friends, it will take effort. It'll take prayer. It'll take the study of God's word. But the more our words are like apples of gold in settings of silver, the more Christ-like we are becoming, the more wise we are becoming, the more we are taking these wise words for godly living. Amen.